Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
ES Audio. From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Rachel Abbott, and this is The Leader. Today we're giving you some bonus content taken from our business show, How to Be a CEO. It's an opportunity to hear from the most powerful people behind some of the world's biggest brands. This is actually a cut-down version of the full episode. To hear the full thing, you'll need to hit the link in the show notes. Find a new episode of How to Be a CEO every Monday morning, and why not give it a rate, review, and follow whilst you're there. Now, let's begin.
When is your company going to be 10 years after it was founded? How about valued at $1.75 billion?
I can't complain. Overnight success takes 10 years. It was hard to believe back then. For others, I of course believed in it.
Timo Boot is the CEO and founder of Gusto, the company that disrupted the food industry in 2012 by sending boxes and recipes for what to do with what's inside them to people's homes. The subscription meal kit industry is globally worth around $20 billion today, and Timo was there right at the start.
In the early days, you know, this was me writing recipes myself, going to the market and then hand delivering to customers, giving customers my personal phone number so that they call me until like 1 a.m. at night. And it was crazy.
I'm David Marsden from The Evening Standard. Now, this show is about how to be a CEO, and there are no quick ways. But what about appearing on Dragon's Den, I hear you ask? Well, Timo did that with Gusto and didn't get any money. So when I meet him, I kind of want to know, what happened there?
How the world has changed in 10 years, Timo. I mean, you were trying to explain what a food box was to a group of people who didn't understand what the concept was about. Duncan Ballantyne said to you, you probably remember this, I don't see any way you'll ever make any money. Now, your company was just valued at $1.75 billion. A lot's happened in 10 years, hasn't it, Timo?
I can't complain. Overnight success takes 10 years. It was hard to believe back then. For others, I, of course, believed in it. But yeah, no, the world has changed so much since then. I launched 10 years ago. Dragon's Den was a huge milestone, hugely fun, 40 cameras. It took 2 hours of you know, recording, 40 cameras. You know that every time you're sweating, you're red-faced, that's what they will edit, you know, and show. It's a quite daunting experience, but no, really glad. And Duncan became a customer subsequently. So I'm really proud that he became a customer, yes?
He did say in the episode, I'm going to become a customer, but I'm not giving you any money.
Gee, and that was, I'm sure he regrets it.
You'd got him up to do the demonstration. You had Duncan creating a Gusto box right there in front of you. But when you said that, the two of you seemed quite nervous about asking, oh, does anybody want to make one of these?
Well, so the challenge was, The electricity didn't work inside the den. And so we had to pre-boil everything and kind of fake it on camera, pretending we're cooking. But obviously the dragons weren't briefed on this. So we had no clue if this would kind of look horrible on TV and, you know, it might taste like rubbish. And And so it was quite improvised after 8 hours of waiting in the BBC studio in Manchester to be on stage and then suddenly being told, you know, oh, sorry, the cooking doesn't work, by the way. Like, can you just quickly boil the potatoes in the corner before you go in? So, okay.
So I guess that was probably a lot of people's first introduction to your company. Did that maybe highlight some of the issues you might be going to face, you know, trying to persuade people this is a good way to use recipes to cook a subscription box? Did you struggle at all to get that idea across?
Yes, David. That's the short answer. It was hugely difficult because 10 years ago, to convince anyone to buy food online was quite like novel and weird and, you know, shelf life issues, and it wasn't so common. Now, obviously, the world has shifted. And I guess what we saw back then was 40% of food is wasted in the UK. And if food waste was a country, it would be the third largest country after the US and China in terms of CO2 emissions. And so we managed to reduce it by 94% by taking it out of the supply chain and by giving you exactly what you need. But back then, articulating that concisely felt really difficult because, yeah, just so novel back then.
Was there any kind of really effective way of getting that message out? What was the best bit of marketing you could do?
Well, give customers a box, you know, give investors a box. I actually back then send food boxes to venture capitalist funds in Berlin, in Stockholm. You know, we were looking for sustainability focused, mission driven investors. And so we tried to ship these boxes across the UK so that people could actually feel the food, see the product, get excited. And so we developed a lot of recipes that didn't require any refrigerated items. So perfect for vegan recipes.
Was there a lot of having to do pitching to potential investors? I mean, and how did you kind of, was there a secret to it, or did you have to just kind of make it up as you go along?
I think Rocky Balboa very eloquently said it in one of his Rocky movies. And he says, you know, winning is not about how hard you can punch. It's about how hard you can be punched in the face and, you know, not fall down. And I mean, it sounds horrible, but the key lesson for me, and still is it's all about resilience and being okay with rejection and not giving up. You know, if 100 people say no, you know, I mean, of course, you have to be open to feedback and you have to refine what you're doing. But maybe you just need 110 people. And I always tell the story, but I send so many people a Christmas card asking for them to mentor me. This was 10 years ago. One of them was Al Gore. And since then, I had, you know, 10, well, sorry, not 10, but I had 3 dinners with Al Gore and complete serendipity. But no one ever says, Timo, who are the other 50 people you send a Christmas card to who haven't responded? Oh, that's a shame. You wasted so much money and stampage and so on. You know, the only thing that matters is kind of the one person that loves you, loves the idea, and backs you. And so, yeah.
The cost of 50 Christmas cards is definitely worth dinner with Al Gore, isn't it? Even just one. And
I wholeheartedly agree.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
So was there a lot of, I guess, cold calling? Was it a big hustle to try and get stuff? How much work went into getting money or getting marketing as much as getting the product right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had an amazing team and I'm so proud that some of them are still working with us. We actually have, you know, Aiden, Ricardo, employees who joined as interns in the first year, like literally when we had 5 customers. They're absolutely incredible. They're still in the business and so, so blessed, you know, the team we had. And then there was kind of, as you said, like the pitching, the investor side. And yeah, it's all about the hustle, meeting as many people as possible. You know, I remember boarding trains to go to Paris and just meet as many people everywhere. And through the process, figure out what type of capital is right, where's the chemistry, are they buying into purpose, mission, values of what we're trying to achieve, or are they just trying to make a profit in 2 years and flip it? And so we really wanted somebody who, yeah, sticks with us for the long term.
Yeah, and I guess that works with the team that you're working with as well, that you talked about, the people who've been there since almost day one. This must have been a great journey for you guys. Has it felt like an adventure or has it felt like trauma? I don't know.
I mean, entrepreneurship is such a steep roller coaster of, you know, terror and then excitement, you know, enhanced by lack of sleep. And it's a weird experience in many ways. I feel so blessed to be on this journey. And I feel enormously privileged to have, you know, had these, for having these experiences. And ultimately, it comes down to the people. If you love the people on the journey, it's such a joy and such a privilege.
Was there a point when you did feel this is going to work? Was there a specific moment when you thought, okay, we're going to be okay, this is going to work now?
You know, I get this question all the time, and it's really hard to pinpoint down these moments. I think we hired a few people that are still in the business that have done between 6 and 10 years. And every time we hired these people, I genuinely, after a couple of months, felt like my life is getting so much better. I see the results and what they're achieving. These people are amazing. Everything is kind of shifting. And these moments kind of foreshadowed success the most. So really, really proud of the people on this journey. All comes down to them.
As the company has grown and as you've been looking for larger and larger scales of investment, does that change how you do the strategy to make those pitches? Do you write individual pitches for different people, or is it the same thing for everyone? Everybody gets the same power slides.
So I would argue that two things. One, we have really professionalized investor relations. We brought in somebody who's done it for 5-6 years at Gusto now. He deserves a ton of credit. Barnaby, you know, our CFO, has done a ton of pitching with me. And so we have a very experienced kind of team and a very kind of rigid process, very, very like data driven. We meet lots of funds for chemistry fit. We don't waste too much time on funds. And so that side has improved. Then on a personal level, I don't prepare for pitches. I meet people. You know, I tell my story. The team kindly puts together a couple of slides and they're fairly like standardized. And I look for fit. How do investors think about the world? What's their value add? Are they truly thinking in 10-year terms? What, like, you know, painful experience that they have in their portfolio that points towards learning and reflection? You know, how will they act once they're on board? And so I think you can only mess up your shareholder base and your board once. It's a very painful experience, I'm sure. And so far I've been so glad. Our shareholders have been the biggest asset. They've been huge cheerleaders. You know, we've got people like Joe Wiggs invested into Gusto. And so really, really grateful to them.
Yeah, Joe Wiggs is a recent investor, isn't he? What's it like to get that kind of celebrity status alongside the company?
Yeah, we had like a couple, you know, in the early days. Andy Peters came to the office when we were like 20, 30 people. He invested early. I mean, he made a huge return. We had a couple of very high profile CEOs from the US running like the biggest companies in the US. And so we had a few people where it felt quite special, and I was really proud sharing the news with the team. And I think, again, it's you know, testimony to their hard work. I mean, Joe is particularly awesome. He is the nation's PE teacher. He was a customer. He then messaged me saying, hey, why don't we meet up at some point? I love what you're doing. I love the purpose of feeding families across the UK. He came to the office. We became friends. You know, we started a commercial partnership. Joe Wicks is on the menu every week. So, you know, have some of his recipes every week. They're awesome. And then at some point he said, look, you know, I've never invested into a startup, but could I give you some money? And I don't think he's ever regretted it. I mean, he smashed it through Gusto. And so he's very happy. We're really happy. He's such a great person. And it's really rare to meet people like him who is so committed, so driven, and so like values and purpose obsessed as we are.
That was Timo Bolt from Gusto. For the best business news, interviews and analysis, go to standard.co.uk/business or pick up the Evening Standard newspaper. How to Be a CEO is back first thing every Monday morning. Why not start your week with us?
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.